Okay, thanks for coming to our final Journey Through Jewish Law series. I personally enjoyed the opportunity to research and learn more about the lives of the great poskim, the great people who we know more by the names of their books than even their own names and own personal stories, and the history and how it fit together. I definitely gained a lot by preparing these and looking a little bit more into some of these areas which I hadn't focused on before. So, Asher, thank you for the motivation and the inspiration. And we'll conclude with this is going to be more of a technical discussion about the issue, but we'll conclude with, I think this started with just in learning or even for point of reference, we mention these different names. We see on the calendar, I put copied if anyone wants today's calendar, these different zmanim. We have sunrise, we have the latest Shema, and we have a couple. Latest Shema Grah and Balatanya, latest Shema Magen Avram. Okay, so we learned a little bit about the Magen Avram last week. He was in the 1600s in Poland. He was actually an elementary school teacher, and then he was discovered that, he's actually like the biggest gadol of the generation, so then he became the head of the Beis Din. And so we have different times. So
Magen Avram was the Rebbe.
He was the Rebbe. Yeah, he was like the kindergarten Rebbe. And then, right, the story goes, and they, the Shach, who we learned about, was visiting town. He's talking to the students, and he said,
"Well,
Shach
was fighting with
the Taz. The Taz was, the Shach was much younger than the Taz, and he wrote very strongly. So the Shach was visiting the school, and he heard all these. He's going on a tour of the school, and he sees these kids like they're unbelievable. Who's your Rebbe? They found out the Magen Avram. So." They said, okay, well, we'll be the posek of the town. And actually, his commentary on Shulchan Aruch was only published after he had passed away. But we have the latest Shema according to the Magen Avram, latest Shema according to the Grah. The Grah is the Vilna Gaon, the Balatanya, first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So what are all these? On the second side. Then you have sunset, then you have Grah's nightfall, and four different times. Then you have nightfall, three stars, Rabbeinu Tam's nightfall. So if someone were to be, a little bit cynical about, Judaism, because it isn't, day, night, night. Why do we have to have all of these different times? When's the latest time when's the latest time that Shema can be said? When's sunset? When's nightfall? But you see just on the charts, this was in the maizmanim.com. You have to log in to get this, the whole thing. This is like every time. But even on other charts, you'll see later Shema Magen Avram. You'll see time for Motzei Shabbos. We'll talk about what time that is. We have the 43 minutes, 50 minutes, and your Rabbeinu Tam, which is generally understood as 72 minutes. Where do they all come from? And then what's the basis for all of that? So, again, the question is, we have, for the beginning of the Torah, Vayera Yivoker, there was evening, and there was night, and there was morning. There was day and night. He called Hashem called day and night. The Torah says that at the very beginning. So what's the question? It would seem to be pretty simple. You have day and you have night. A mitzvah that you're supposed to do during the day, so you do during the day. At night you do when it becomes night. But when does it become day and when does it become night? So, and what about some periods in between? So the question is relevant for many things, but it's very seriously relevant for Shabbos. If on Friday, if it becomes night, so then to violate Shabbos is a capital offense. It's a very serious prohibition. So you have to be sure when day is, when day end, when night begins, and the same thing is true on Motzei Shabbos, other issues as well. But this comes to the forefront with regard to Shabbos entering. So there's a Mishnah that says, it's part of the Bami Madlikin, which they say on Friday night. There are three things a person has to say in his house at nightfall, or at the approach of nightfall, when all the preparations should be completed. Have you tithed your crop? Particularly in the land of Israel, have you taken the appropriate tithes? Because you're not permitted to do that on Shabbos. What's the problem with just taking off a little tithes? You just take off a little bit of the food. What's the problem with that? So it's part of the more broad malacha of makeh b'patish, when we're talking mana, completing something. That first the food is not usable, and not permitted. And then by doing this, it's not inherently a malacha, but you make it permissible, similar to why
demai your lot.
Demai during safek hashecha, during bein hashmashos, which will be the real discussion. It's one safek, but it's a derabanan.
What's the suffix?
Suffix
on the demai.
The suffix, right. So the suffix is on the demai. But in general, when you have a derabanan, and it's for the sake of a mitzvah, during bein hashmashos, you'd be allowed to...
What's demai? Excuse me.
Oh, so demai is...
I know everything else.
That is a produce from somebody who we don't trust, tithed the properly. So that produce, we don't know. We assume that wasn't tithed properly.
Right. This actually assumes that most people are careful with tithing, and we probably assume that it is tithed, but we want to be careful. That's in general with demai. So they made it a decree that you had to then tithe again if you bought from someone who was not necessarily suspected or known to violate the laws of tithing, but someone who is maybe ignorant, wasn't as careful. But because that's a rabbinic, you know, completing and a rabbinic prohibition, so you're allowed to do that during this period of what we call safek hashecha, when it's doubt about whether it's dark. This applies to other areas for asking a non-Jew to do things much more lenient during the bein hashmasho, so literally between the suns period. So you can do that if you made the eruv, and then have liko asen there. Then you can light the candle. So safek hashecha, safek eino hashecha, if there's a doubt about whether it's nighttime or not, you can't tie things that are definitely not separated, and you can't do tevilas kalim, you can't immerse utensils, because that makes them from, you know, not usable, not permitted to be used to being usable. You're actually also not permitted to be a potential ger, can't go to the mikvah on Shabbos, because that's your metake and mana, you're completing them as a Jew. For others, for let's say women, you can, because it goes, you know, sort of in and out. But for a ger, we don't go to the mikvah, because it would be, you know, completing themselves as a Jew. And when there's a doubt about whether it's night or not, you can tithe. Definitely untithed produce, you can't immerse utensils, and you can't light candles. But you can tithe demai, the questionable produce. You can make an eruv, meaning you can do put the bread out to expand the boundary, and you can do hatmana. You can insulate the hot water, because that in and of itself aren't malachos, or were rabbinic and weren't prohibited during this period. So right now we've seen safek hashecha, safek eino hashecha. There's a doubt about whether it's night or not night. So, yeah, I don't know if we, in any other context, we think about it so much. I'm coming tonight, or tonight, what does tonight mean? Probably would say it's somewhere about when it gets dark. You don't have is this night? Maybe it's evening. But halachically, there is a benchmark for determining night. How do we determine what night is? Tzeis. So tzeis is the emergence of the stars. That you say there are three stars, right? That's what I learned as kids. There are three stars, then it's nighttime. And the Gemara Pesachim in number two says that we consider halachically that it's day until there's the appearance of the stars. So it's Seisa Kolkovim, the appearance of the stars. So how many stars is that? One star, two stars, three stars. What are the sizes of the stars? So the Gemara in Shabbos in number three says, when you can see one star, it's still day. You see one star in the sky, it's still day. You see two, then it's bein hashmashos. And this is the term we'll be using. Bein hashmashos literally is between the suns. But it refers to that period that where there's a doubt about whether it's day and night. So just before we see the whole discussion of Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, so what do we consider bein hashmashos? When are we concerned that it's bein hashmashos? Are we considering bein hashmashos? When would you say that is?
There's two stars, no?
Either way?
You said if there's two stars, if you see two stars, isn't that bein
hashmashos? Right, but if you go outside and see...
You can't see any stars. I mean, sometimes...
Right. Now with light pollution, it's hard.
Between
Shkia and Seis. So, okay, so what do we consider Shkia?
When you can't see a sun anymore.
Okay, okay, but not so simple. But right, that's what I would think. And I think that's generally what we are used to. We consider it Bein HaShemeshes, between the sun at astronomical sunset, when the sun dips below the horizon. And at that point, until it gets dark, what we call Tzeis, the appearance of the stars. We usually not count these stars, but that's what we consider nightfall. And we get the three stars.
That is, by the way, the most difficult time for vision. Is that period.
Right, because like the street lights don't...
Just in general, even if you're in a desert, it's very difficult to see during Shkia in actual nightfall.
Because your eyes are
somewhere in between.
Because a lot of car accidents happen, right?
I don't know, it's like a whole different training in the military. When you come to shooting that area, you specifically will wait for Shkia, and you do a whole, actual additional drill because of the difficulty. And that's when it's actually noticeable.
Right, if you're in the desert, the light pollution, you actually see.
You actually feel...
And that's maybe the test to see how long it takes for the stars to come out. But we say, okay, one star is day, two stars is twilight, Bein HaShemeshes, and three stars is night. And what size stars these have to be? So it says Beinonim, medium-sized stars. Now that's considered nightfall. Okay, so seemingly you have the sunset when the sun sets, and then you have this period where the stars aren't, in a place where there's no light pollution, stars aren't visible. There's one star, two stars, then you have three stars. That's nightfall. That being said, it's not that simple that's what's considered Bein HaShemeshes, between the suns, the period of twilight. You have the Gemara in Shabbos number 4, that Bein HaShemeshes, Sofek min hayom u'min halayla. So what's the status of Bein HaShemeshes? This is a doubt about whether it's from the day or whether it's at night. Sofek kulo min hayom, Sofek kulo min halayla. There's a doubt whether it's completely day or completely night. Some understand Bein HaShemeshes to meaning, do we understand during the time of Bein HaShemeshes, are we constantly in doubt? Oh, maybe this point is night, maybe this point is day. So it sounds like perhaps it's that. Some, including the Ritva, explain what it means is that Bein HaShemeshes does have its own status, meaning the status is Safek Yom, Safek Laila, that it's a doubt. It has a little bit from the day of the night, and halakhically there could be some ramifications for that. But generally, if it's a doubt, so what's the policy? So it said that in general, the matilin osel lechomer shnei yomim. So that in general, certainly when it comes to Torah prohibitions, the sages impose the stringencies of both days on it, which, again, is most commonly experienced when it comes to Shabbos. That on Shabbos, we bring in Shabbos before sunset, before there's this doubt, and we refrain from doing work on Motzei Shabbos until it's dark. And so when exactly is this? So here it gives a little bit more of an analysis of what goes on. Here's when the sun sets, as long as the eastern face of the sky is still reddened, but then the lower segment of the sky loses its color. There's a whole discussion about what exactly this looks like. Again, you have to be in an area with no light and really attentive to these things. But then the Gemara says that maybe we can say that we can give a general time measurement. So this is the opinion of, Reb Nechemya says that the Bein HaShemeshes is how it takes for a person to walk half a mil after the sun sets. So what's a mil? A mil is roughly a mile, but that's a distance. But here we're talking about a time. So the most popular understanding of the length of a mil is 18 minutes. There are some opinions 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes, but let's say it's 18 minutes, roughly a mile, or around that distance. So the amount of time it takes for a person to walk half a mil, so let's just say a mil is 18 minutes, so that would be 9 minutes after the sun dips below the horizon, it's nightfall. Rabbi Yossi This is also quoted in the beginning of Brachos, that Bein HaShmashos is Keherev Ayin, that it's like the blink of an eye. The point where being, according to Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like there's day, then there's this one, which probably maybe extends a little bit later than we think, and there's one moment, Bein HaShmashos, and then it's Tzeisa Kochavim, and the appearance of the stars. And Rabba said, in the name of Yul, said, in the name of Shmuel, that it's 3/4 of a mil. So 3/4 of a mil, if we're going to assume that a mil is 18 minutes, so that would be 13 and a half minutes after sunset. So we assume a mil is 18 minutes. And if we say that Bein HaShmashos starts after the sun dips below the horizon, so that would mean that if Shkia, let's say Shkia today is like 8:24, so that would mean at 8:37 and 30 seconds, it would be nightfall. So does that, so we could have a shorter Shalashudas. Yeah, we start Shalashudas Reshkia, 13 and a half minutes. We bench, 13 and a half minutes afterwards, we daven Marib. Daven Marib, we can do Balacha. So, right, so the question is, where does this 42 minutes, 43 minutes come from? What are all these different measurements for the time of nightfall? So just keep in mind, you have the 13 and a half minutes mentioned in the Gemara in Shabbos. And then you have, you go to the next page, in number 5, the Gemara in Pesachim presents a different length of time for Bein HaShmashos. Here it's in the context of talking about the laws of Pesach Sheni, how far a person is, if they're Derek Recholka, if they're far away, then they would have the opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach and Pesach Sheni. And then it gets into the complex calculation about what the sun does at night. But it says basically, the main point that comes out of it is, so it asks, how far can an average person walk during the entire day? What do we consider the entire day? Sounds like we consider from dawn until nightfall. Eser parsos, 10 parsa, which is 40 mil. So if he said, so
40 mil.
Which is 40 mil. Okay. So let's say a mil is 18 minutes, so 18 times 9 times 40.
Parsa is 4 mil.
Right. So 10 parsos. Eser parsos, malos hashachar ad netzachama arba milin. From, you also have this with the earliest time from dawn. I put on the last, the ma'izmanim thing on the last page of the packet. If you want to reference that, so from dawn, you have. So it says from dawn until sunrise, arba milin, four mil. How much is 4 mil? If we're going with 18 minutes, 72 minutes. Sounds like 72 minutes. Mishkias hachama v'atzeisa kochavim arbat milin. And from sunset, what we'll call sunset, until tzeisa kochavim, the appearance of the stars, you have 4 mil. 4 mil, 72 minutes. Right, so that's what we call the position of Rabbeinu Tam. So far we say it's not the Rabbeinu Tam, it's the Gemara. But the problem with the Gemara, and the problem that Rabbeinu Tam had with the Gemara, and that he reconciled, is you have a Gemara in Shabbos that says that Bein HaShmashos, the period of Bein HaShmashos is, we'll say, 13 and a half minutes. And here you have the Gemara in Pesachim says between sunset and the appearance of the stars, there's 4 mil, 72 minutes. So which one is it? Happens to be, it's the same position, Rabbi Huda, in both. So, which is it? It's a big difference. Is it 13 and a half minutes or 72 minutes? So, this is where Rabbeinu Tam comes in. And it was a position that was shared with others. Rabbeinu Tam, where he lived during the Crusades, he had a bunch of arrows in his body. He managed to survive and ward up his attackers. And he points out that this is a contradiction. He says you have until his kashya l'Rabbeinu Tam in number 6 in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam was one of the Balei Tosfos. There is so in the parak of in the chapter of Bani Mavlikin in Shabbos, Ezu ben Ashmashos, Mitesh Chachama, Kolzman b'nei Mizrach, Madimin de Rabbi Yehuda. So they, from the time the sun sets, the entire time that the sky is still red, that's ben Ashmashos. And it comes out that, according to this understanding, the entire time that the sky is red, that's 3/4 of a mil. So if we say a mil is 18 minutes, that's 13 and a half minutes. But here, Rabbi Yehuda says, Arba Milin, he says that's 4 mil, 72 minutes. So how does he reconcile this? What's the famous position of Rabbeinu Tam that everyone calls the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? Eshlomer, the Halakha Amar Mitzchila Shkia, that there in the Gemara and Shabbos, he's talking about what he calls Tchila Shkia, the beginning of sunset. Tainu Mishap, Shemizchila Sacham, Lichanes Ba'ove Arakia, Adalaila Have Arba Milin. That from the time the sun dips below the horizon until nightfall, so we call it astronomical sunset, the night 8:24, until nightfall, that would be 4 mil or 72 minutes. That would be nightfall, would be 9:36. Vazakomara misovshkia. And when it talks about the 13 and a half minutes, that Bein HaShmashos is 13 and a half minutes, 3/4 of a mil, that's what he calls the end of Shkia. So what does this mean?
It takes 58 and a half minutes to... For the sun to go from the top of the horizon to the bottom part of the horizon?
Well, it depends on how dark it needs to be. Meaning after we end Shabbos, after 72 minutes even, it still gets darker. So the question is, we say 13 and a half minutes, oh, that's crazy, but maybe 72 minutes is crazy. Maybe you have to wait until it gets, you know, pitch black, but we don't. So the question is, what's...
He's saying it actually takes the sun 58 minutes to hit the horizon and then...
No, so what he's saying is, and this is why, this is the big question on the position of Rabbeinu Tam, what he's saying is that the sun, the astronomical sunset, happens when we see the astronomical sunset happen. But what's Bein HaShmashos? Bein HaShmashos begins 3/4 of a mil, 13 and a half minutes, before nightfall. So you have astronomical sunset here and 72 minutes here. So who says astronomical sunset has to mean anything? Rabbeinu Tam would say, or the way he understands the Gemara Pesachim is, you have astronomical sunset, dips below the horizon. Okay, it's still day, still day, still day, until 13 and a half minutes before 72 minutes. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's still, not even itself, like Vada Yom, it's still definitely day until 58 and a half minutes after sunset. And then you get to 72, because then it becomes Bein HaShmashos, halakhically Bein HaShmashos, for 13 and a half minutes, and then you have 72 minutes.
So people that hold the position of Rabbeinu Tam after sunset,
so yeah, so in we'll see the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is actually the one quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but
can do malacha before Shabbos for 58.
So seemingly, yeah. If we hold that Bein HaShmashos, you only say you have to refrain from doing malacha from Bein HaShmashos. Okay, maybe you add a little bit on from the day, but if Bein HaShmashos starts 58 and a half minutes after Shkia. So, yes, in Tosef HaShabbos, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 45 minutes after Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's still Vadayom, it's still definitely day. So, we'll see many Hasidic places, because the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam was very prevalent in Hungary and even in other parts of Europe. So they'll, Daven Mincha, so Mincha will be on the schedule, you know, an hour after candlelighting.
No, you're talking about after, early.
The Mariv, right. So Mexique Adas in the calendar, they have a late Mariv.
People used to come here and then they would listen to whatever. They would. I don't even know if they would daven Mariv. I think they would daven Mariv later. I don't know, whatever.
No,
we take
Shabbos in early.
I know, but that doesn't have anything to do with ending Shabbos.
Oh, you're talking about ending Shabbos.
About ending Shabbos.
Oh, we're talking about bringing Shabbos.
So Mexique Adas has a second minion.
They have a 72 minutes at the end of Shabbos.
Right. Well, actually, their second minyan, the kol, the Rabbeinu Tam minyan, got scheduled for 60 minutes after Shkia, so that those who wait to do Malacha until 72 will land at 72 by the time Maariv is over. But they don't even wait 72 to daven Maariv, which seemingly, if you held that that was night, so then they'd be into Bein HaShemashos. But right, if, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it seems like if Bein HaShemashos starts 58 and a half minutes after sunset, and then you have 13 and a half minutes of Bein HaShemashos, and then it's night. So until then, it's day, and then you have this period of doubt, and then it's night.
Wait, so you're talking about bringing Shabbos in or bringing Shabbos?
Both. So both, right. Both.
We'll talk about why.
So the question is, why does no one who we know, certainly not people who are probably keeping 72 minutes, Motzei Shabbos, are waiting until 60 minutes to bring in Shabbos? Right. Right. Now we more associate Rabbeinu Tam with nightfall, with Motzei Shabbos, as a stringency.
But some Hasidim do it much later. We'll bring in Shabbos much later.
Right.
As in some, because
Malacha wise. The whole Rabbeinu Tam, let's say we have a regular candle lighting, which is 18 minutes before Shkia, right?
So what is that 18 minutes? Is that the 18 minutes that we...
The 18 minutes is... Shulchan Aruch says you should preferably light while the sun is still up in the trees. I mean, it's basically just to add on to Shabbos. Some do 15, some do 20. The 18 isn't really like a magic number.
Oh.
It's good because at least... the women who light 18 minutes always accomplish the Sefer Shabbos. Sometimes men aren't as careful about that. There is at least 2 minutes before Shabbos, too. But the 18 minutes is just a way to add on to Shabbos.
The lighting, Rabbeinu Tam would be 76 half minutes afterwards. 58 plus 18.
Right. And if you hold that Bein HaShemashos only starts 58 and a half minutes, so then that would be a very long time. So we'll talk about what is actually done in practice. But it's not just some outlier position. The Shulchan Aruch in number 7 says it's a requirement to add on to Shabbos, to Tosefes Shabbos, and Mikol Al HaKodesh. How much time do you have to add? He says, Man Tosefes Zehu Mitzchilas HaShkia, Shein HaShemesh Nireis Al HaAretz. That's from the time of the beginning of sunset, when the sun is no longer visible on the horizon. Ad Zman Bein HaShemashos. Until the time of Bein HaShemashos. I mean, then Bein HaShemashos, you have to accept Shabbos. But if you want to do the real Tosefes Shabbos, adding on, so then you could start even before astronomical sunset. Bazman Hazeh, Shugimel Milin Urbiya. That's three quarters of a mil. 58 and a half minutes after sunset. And if you want to do Tosefes, you can do that, even more. And Ratzel Lassus Mimenu Mikzas, Oseh. So you can do... You don't have to do the whole time. Sounds like you don't have to start Shabbos before astronomical sunset. As long as you add a little bit of time from the week until Shabbos. You light candles, you stop doing malach a little bit early. And Shir Zman Bein HaShemashos, Hugimel Raviya Mil. So that's three quarters of a mil.
Here you're saying Gimel Mil and Raviya. Is that 58 and a half? That would be, right?
Gimel Three and a quarter. And then 3/4 of a mil would be 50. 3 1/4 is 58 and a half. Meaning that he's like, the time of Tosefes Shabbos is the 58 and a half minutes. Then you have to start at least Bein HaShemashos. But you should start a little bit before the 58 and a half minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you have the 3/4 of a mil Bein HaShemashos. So there's some question about what was actually done in practice. But you go out tonight, and we'll daven Maariv, there'll still be Bein HaShemashos, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, not even by the time we get out of Maariv. But if you go out tonight at, let's say, sunset's 8:24, go out tonight at 9 o'clock. You go out at 9 o'clock, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Vada Yom. It's definitely day. Not even a doubt. 9 o'clock tonight, look up in the sky. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's definitely day. So what would you say to that?
It's pretty dark. It's not going to be completely dark, but it'll be pretty dark at 9 o'clock.
right? It's dark outside. I guess you can call day or night whatever you want, but if I look at the sky tonight, let's even say, you know, 9 o'clock could be too early. Let's say 9:10. So we look outside and say, it sure looks like night. And so that's what the Vilna Gaon says. Rav Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna in the Bir Hagra, the Gra Hagon Rav Eliyahu. So he has a commentary on, well, many things, but he has the Bir Hagra on the Shulchan Aruch. He makes little notes. Generally, they're short. This one happens to be very long. And sometimes he'll argue on the Shulchan Aruch. And then it's based, in this case, based on other earlier opinions. Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam. But the Vilna Gaon commented that he notes the Shulchan Aruch does accept the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, but he says in the first bold, as we've said, Hachush Mathish b'chol roeh, that the senses contradict, you know, anyone who sees. If you go outside and it's pitch black, you're going to tell me it's definitely day, but I'm looking outside and it sure looks like night. And he says that it can't be, you just can't accept as a practical matter that you're going to say that it's definitely day until 58 and a half minutes after sunset. Plus, you have the Gemara in Shabbos that says that sounds like it's 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets. So he basically comes out that the Gemara in Pesachim, which has the longer time, is more telling you some sort of astronomical, because in the discussion there is some discussion about the astronomy or what the sun does at night. It's a very involved discussion. So the Gemara says that's what the Gemara in Pesachim is telling you. This whole 4 mil, yes, that's Gemara Tzeis Kol HaKochavim, he calls it. That, as we said, Tzeis HaKochavim doesn't necessarily mean that it's the darkest it will become at any point during the night. It means that you can see three stars. So from your experience, I don't know if you were timed it, but let's say you go outside, no light pollution, how long would it take to see three stars? Probably not 72 minutes, probably not 40 minutes. Same time, 13 and a half may seem a little bit short. So the position of the Gra is that Bein HaShemashos begins immediately at Shkia, an astronomical sunset. But when the Gemara says that it's 3/4 of a mil, 13 and a half minutes, that's speaking about on an equinox day in Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael. Basically in the Middle East, close to the equator on an equinox day. Then it would be roughly 13 and a half minutes after sunset would be the appearance of three stars. So you can test it on March 21st in a desert. See if you can see three medium stars at 13 and a half minutes. Right. So if you don't live there. So what if you don't live? What if it's not an equinox day in a place that's very close to the equator? So it depends on where you are. That in a place, akol al ofeg shalohem, that when it says the 13 and a half minutes, that's with their latitude, that depends on the place and the time of year. But in away from the equinox, right, take the equator, right, away from the equinox months, either fall or spring, you get to the summer, even in the winter, then it will be longer even in a place that's close to the equator. So let's just say in Yerushalayim on an equinox day, it's 13 and a half minutes. Okay, then it will become a little bit longer in January, a little bit longer in June. And if you go the farther from the equator it goes, so in our hemisphere, the farther north you go, that time of Bein HaShemashos, according to the Vilna Gaon, will be longer. So he says 13 and a half minutes. The Vilna Gaon says that's only in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel or close to the equator on an equinox day. And that's why they were using that, because they were talking there about the redness and the darkness. So it's not an absolute...
sunset is shorter in the winter.
in the fall and the both equinox days, that's when the twilight period is the shortest. The winter gets a little bit longer, and the summer it gets longer. But the fall and then spring equinox is when the time of Beinah Shmashos will be the shortest. But if you go away from the equator, or if you go farther into the summer or winter, so it'll be longer. So, and he says we're in, you know, in Vilna, it was longer than that. But that's basically what you're working with. So in this Maizmanim calendar, so you have the Gruz nightfall, which is 3/4 of a mil. So I did it for Scranton 18510 on May 25th. So we're a little bit way from the equinox. So and from the equator, we're into summer and we're far north of the equator. So this is adjusted to 13.5 minutes. Shkia is 8:24. So even the Gruz nightfall where we are would be at 17 minutes after sunset. Then not what we have in our calendars, 43 minutes after sunset. And there are other opinions about how long the mil is, whether a mil is 18 minutes or it could be longer. But let's just say we go with the 18-minute mil. So roughly 17 minutes after sunset, that would be nightfall according to the Gruz.
Why is the add-on to the 13.5?
Because it's adjusted for basically what Maizmanim does is they look at the degrees below the horizon on an equinox day in Israel, and they see how many degrees below the horizon is, like 3-point-something, and then they'll apply that to in Scranton on May 25th. How many minutes after sunset is that same amount of degrees below the horizon? Sitting on my phone.
Who figured this out?
So this Maizmanim site. There's like this.
Oh,
so I made this program.
Right,
that's why it wasn't exact. So people probably kept longer. But if we say the 13.5 minutes, so roughly 17 minutes after sunset in Scranton on May 25th would be nightfall. So now the question is, what are we on the Zmanim charts that we have? So we don't see 17 minutes after Shkia and 72 minutes after Shkia, right? We do here the standard time, 43 minutes after sunset is the time listed for Motzei Shabbos. So where does that come from? You say 42, 43, 50, those are popular times. Where do they come from? It's not 72 and it's not 13.5 or let's say even 20. It's where do these times come from? So there are others who take the approach, I mean, similar in principle to the approach of the Gruz, maybe going along with that idea, but not exactly with the same calculation, is that basically you go on when it looks like night in the place where you are, until where you can see the three medium stars, or from Motzei Shabbos, wait till three small stars, that it depends on the place. So they'll usually be a little bit longer than the 17 minutes. And in the Bir HaLacha, in number 10, so he says, what if there's a place where it takes longer than 72 minutes for it to get completely dark or to see the three medium stars or three small stars? So he says, then you'd have to wait longer. And actually on this chart, they have the most people who keep remaining time do the fixed 72 minutes, which would be a question because there's a difference between on March 21st in Yerushalayim and June 21st in even Scranton. It's going to be a different amount of time if we just go by the light. But the popular understanding of Rabbeinu Tam or practice of Rabbeinu Tam is the fixed 72 minutes. But if you do it as degrees, which would mean is on this calendar, it's 72 minutes as 16.1 degrees. That would mean in Yerushalayim on equinox day, 72 minutes is 16.1 when the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon. So translate that to a place that's farther north and not an equinox day. So that would be 10:09. So Shkia is that's late. That's about an hour and 45 minutes after Shkia. So you to keep it degrees.
This would Where would this?
This is Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam.
In Yerushalayim. Where's it 16 point?
On an equinox day in Yerushalayim, 72 minutes is when the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon. So if you're north of that and it's not an equinox day, then it's going to be longer. So the Be'er HaLocha, which is the same author as the Mishnah Berurah, says that, right, it has to, it's not a fixed 72 minutes. It has to do with when it gets dark. And that's probably where the, well, actually, we'll take a look at Ramosha, because that's he's the famous 50 minutes. That's like the top common time to keep is 50 minutes. That's opinion of Ramosha Feinstein. We'll see what does he base that on. Just to note, you asked before, I wanted to address it. So we really go like Rabbeinu Tam, and it's a significant opinion. It's the main opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Then what about doing melacha after astronomical sunset? So there were definitely communities, particularly in Hungary, who, taking Satmar, Kleisenberg, who would do melacha after Shkia. Now we see the Davin Mincha well after Shkia, but there you're dealing with the Derabana, and you're not dealing with any capital offenses. But in Europe, I saw it in the Shuas of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, the Divrei Yatziv, as well known as the Satmarov as well. In Europe, they would do Malacha well after Shkia, because if it's not even Bein HaShemash, it's until 58 and a half minutes, so what's the problem? And that's following the Shulchan Aruch. The story is told, I read in the biography of the Satmar Rebbe, that when he came to America, he continued to do that. Because that was the practice. The practice was consistently, according to Rabbeinu Tam, very insistent that the end of Shabbos be 72 minutes, that it fulfilled the position of Rabbeinu Tam. But the story goes that when he came to America, it wasn't what people were really doing. And they had a convention with some of the big rabbanim at the time, and they agreed that there wouldn't be melacha done after Shkia. They'd agree in some places that everyone would keep 72 minutes on the tail end of Shabbos. And that was made in Brooklyn. I think in Brooklyn it's quite common to have that no one does melacha after Shkia, and generally Shabbos is kept until 72 minutes. So that's stringent on both sides to accommodate both positions. And even the Mishnah Berurah, which some places says that has a preference for the 72 minutes, says that does not mean that one can be lenient with by using Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mishnah Berurah was in Poland, Lithuania, and probably there was not accepted at all to be, probably largely because of the influence of the Vilna Gaon. But I think this is, it's one example of how the halakhic norms have shifted a little bit in past decades, in the past centuries, that it was quite common for people to be consistently follow Rabbeinu Tam, both what would be a stringency, but also even for leniency. And I think that would not be accepted anywhere. Now the practice, at least after World War II, is really that no one would do melacha after Shkia, or use Bein HaShemasha, or use Rabbeinu Tam for leniency. Again, the Chassidim do it for Mincha. Okay, that's of less severity, even though after, 20 minutes after Shkia, so if it's night, so then, okay, Davin Marv twice. But okay, that's, they're based, they would use Rabbeinu Tam as a leniency there, because you're not dealing with as weighty offenses. But when it comes to Shabbos, at least publicly, I don't know what, you have to ask the Chassidim what do in private, but at least publicly, that was the position, that was the compromise that was reached, is no one would do melacha after astronomical sunset, and there will also be efforts to wait the 72 minutes on the other end. Mary, of course, married a friend, Tommy Williams, worked for Shabbos, and I found the one Nusach Ashkenaz minion left in Williamsburg, but they davened before Shkia, because otherwise they were going to not daven mincha of Shabbos for like 45 minutes after Shkia. So you go to some neighborhoods, it's harder to get, a mincha before Shkia, because they, in that respect, they still follow Rabbeinu Tam. But in general, again, this is the widespread practice. Certainly, the tradition that I have is that when it comes to things that are dependent on shkia, we don't use the Rabbeinu Tam to be lenient. So what is this? What are the 42 minutes, 43, 50? So the I have a guess of where the 43 came from. But the 42 is kind of an artificial position. It was a position that was developed by the Agudas Harabbanim in America. Where's 42? Is 42 some magic number? Why is 42 minutes after sunset an easy time to put on the calendar? Right. So if candlelighting is scheduled at 18 minutes before sunset, so when you say you put on the calendar, Shabbos ends an hour after candlelighting. So that's basically where the 42 comes from. My theory about, I guess, Minach Scranton is, I'm guessing that this is what it was, is that something, depending on what time of year it is, an hour after candlelighting usually is in 42 minutes. It's either 41 or 43. So my guess is they didn't want to dip below the 42. So in the summer it's going to be 43. So they just said 43. I'm guessing that's what was behind it. But again, the 42 isn't necessarily a magic number or a position. Rabbi Sachs, you think that's what it was? The 43. It was probably just to make sure at least there's 42. Does that from the?
I think that's it's 42, but they add another minute for
Shabbos. 4 to 7 Shabbos. Okay.
I think that's how it was explained.
Right. But the thing is, the 40. The way I understand the 42, again, it was.
It looks like it's 45.
45. Right. But I think the 42 is really assuming that Seis is earlier, but then waiting longer for Tosefet Shabbos. I know around the time, I think when the Agudas Harabbanim set the 42, people were waiting a shorter amount of time. A lot of people were. Like, what, maybe it satisfied the grub, but I think the idea of the 42 is it works nice, it works out well with the calendars. Remember what candlelighting time is, and then add an hour to it. But I imagine it's dealing with it assumes the position. Actually, have this, it was published in Hapardes, this announcement, right, that says it basically assumes like it goes like those position of to the Gra and the Balatani. The Balatani is a little bit later, but still earlier than the 42. So I think that was the origin of the 42 in general, is that you had, let's say, at around 30,
no,
around 35 or 30. Heard from by Mordechai Willig, that they did a test in the Morishah Kola, like Morishah, where there's no light. How long does it take the three stars? It was somewhere around 32 or something minutes in the summer. So I think that's probably what the 42 came from. But then you have another common position is the 50 minutes. Where does 50 minutes come from? Again, it's not the 13 and a half, or let's even say 13 and a half, it's 20, 25, but where does the, it's not an hour after sunset. So where does the 50 minutes come from? 50 minutes is a position for Moshe Feinstein, but he has a very interesting way of calculating it that is interesting. He says that the 50 minutes, according to Moshe Feinstein, is really that the 50 minutes in New York, even on a summer day, is as dark as it would be. He was judging from Luban and in Belarus was at 72 minutes. He essentially says that the 50 minutes is equivalent to the 72 minutes as far as levels of darkness. He has another calculation that he says for when it comes to the Gros sunset going from the 13 and a half, he actually says that there is 9 minutes. That would be 9 minutes in America. It's interesting why he uses Eastern Europe as the basis. He asked Moshe Tendler once about it. He said basically he was working with this general perspective of how dark is it. Not necessarily, because you look at the calculations, it's a little bit difficult to understand. But he applies this to the tshuva, addresses different areas, but basically he says that in where we are, he was in New York, that at 50 minutes, that after by 50 minutes, they're already, the sky is full of stars, and the Lopakos Mikoseno be Europe Acher 72 minute Vyoter. That, and at the summer at 15 on June 21st, and 50 minutes after sunset in New York, that was as dark as it ever was at 72 minutes in Europe. And then he says but that's really according to Rabbeinu Tam. So he says for Motzei Shabbos, you should keep the position of Rabbeinu Tam. But in America, with the level of darkness that's necessary, that would be 50 minutes after sunset. And because the time of the Gra would be 9 minutes after sunset, which is why for certain things, Sir Moshe actually has some kulas with up to 9 minutes after sunset. He says that's a svek sveka, that's a double doubt. Maybe it's Bein HaShmashos, so maybe the locha is like, you know, it's like Rabbeinu Tam, but that's where sometimes the 9 minutes is thrown around, all we have until 9 minutes after Shkia, or the 50 minutes, basically the 9 minutes is Ramosha's understanding of the Gra in America, and the 50 minutes is his adjusting of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, though, that you shouldn't, shouldn't protest. He says, though, there's still a preference in the Torah to wait 72 minutes in any case, but that's where the 50 minutes comes from. And he says even that V'amir la'akum, l'tzorek mitzvah, l'tzorek shah, shos atzchak, arba'y minut achar shkiyah. And he says even for some things, if it's for a great need or for asking a non-Jew, which you can do during the Rabbeinu Shmoshos, even 40 minutes after sunset. But basically, I think the 42 or the 43 is that hour after candlelighting, assuming probably that the basic halacha is that Seis HaKohavim is earlier. The 50 minutes is Rav Moshe is adjusting for going what he saw in Europe to and applying it in America. Okay, so that's, we have the Magen Avraham and the Gra with Kriya Shema. Okay, that's a little bit less involved. Anything is involved, but this one is, 56 Nem. Surprised we were able to do this all that time. Okay, so I think the question came, the Magen Avraham, what do people know about the Magen Avraham and the Gra? So, not going to do it justice, but just a summary. So there's, in general, you have Mishnah in Megillah that says that mitzvos that need to be done during the day, including Hallel, Megillah, Shofar, that best to do them after Netzach Hama, after sunrise, but to the Evid, if they were done after Alos HaShachar, after daybreak, also you see on the charts different positions, then you would be Yotze to fill your obligations. But you have a Mishnah Gemara that says, when's the latest time to say Shema? Until 3 hours. So what's 3 hours? Where do you measure the 3 hours from? So the Rambam in his Perashah Mishnayos says the opinion that we accept is that the hours are not just 60-minute hours, that you measure a time from the beginning of the day till the end of the day and divide it in 12. But the question is, what do you consider for this purpose, what do you consider the beginning of the day and what do you consider the end of the day? So the position of the Magen Avraham, which was not only his position, he just comments on the Shulchan Aruch, that's what became associated with him, is that you start from Alos HaShachar, you start with, let's say 72 minutes before sunrise until... Usually, I think the way they're printed on charts, so the Magen Avraham time will really be different depending on when you hold Alos HaShachar is and when you hold Seis HaKohavim is. But I think on the standard charts, you see in like the Shtiblach, it's probably assuming 72 flat in each direction. So when it comes to Kriya Shema, that will be an earlier time. The Gra says that you measure from sunrise to sunset. That's also because you can get a consistent calculation, meaning now we have, Maizmanim and different, technology to measure these things. But before you had that, how are you supposed to measure from dawn to dusk into 12 parts with the Grozmanim. It's more or less like a sundial. You go half the day at 3 hours into it was more observable without technology. So the Gros says one of the reasons why he maintains that you count the Zmanim as he does is because it's something that's possible to keep. And again, I didn't. There's more we could go into it, but for the sake of brevity, so that's the basic difference. When it comes to Shema, you have the time of the Magen Avraham will be earlier than the time of the Grub. Then if you go to, it has all these, the later times, let's say the earliest time for Mincha, which I don't think people in general are stringent to wait the Magen Avraham's time for the earliest Mincha, but it would be later. Plaga Mincha would be later. Plaga Mincha, roughly an hour and a quarter. We usually do an hour and a quarter, depending on the time of the year, before sunset. When it comes to, if you were consistent with the Magen Avraham Zmanim, early Shabbos would be, which is Plaga Mincha. What time would Plaga Mincha be according to the Magen Avraham? Today it would be 7:48. So you're not gaining so much time, but because it would be later, because it's each proportional hour is going to be longer because you're measuring from sunrise from daybreak to nightfall instead of from sunrise to sunset. So, just on this, I copied from the page of the Dirshu. It mentions the different positions of the poskim. I have here the Aruch HaShulchan, but also Moshe Feinstein says, and Chazon Ish, that at least in Lithuania, Moshe Feinstein says in Russia as well, they assume that the basic halacha was like the gra for the measuring the hours of the day. So that would mean that the primary time would be according to the grub, which would mean, and relevant for the Shabbos, because you'll have to say Kriya Shema before, but the primary posted time would be 9:17 today. And which is a later time, but that was the way many in Lithuania in that world assumed that the basic halacha is like the grub. And someone went so far as to say that let's say you were in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra or Birkos Kriya Shema, normally if you at the time for Shema comes, you drop everything and say Shema right then and there. But if you assume this, the time is, at least according to the basic letter of the law, the later time, like the grub, so then you wouldn't necessarily have to drop everything. And there's some suggest that in any case, if it's because it's a Torah commandment to say the Shema, so then there is could be worthwhile to be stringent for the time of the Magen Avraham. One complication to that is, all things being equal, it is better to say the Shema with the brachos. We don't always do it, but that's so. If you rather than, maybe it's not the best idea to fulfill the just say the Shema alone, like the Magen Avraham, and not say with the brachos. Again, that could be more and more of a discussion. Other things, Svardim in general, seem to like the. Or at least advised to be strict like the Magen Avraham, because it is a Torah prohibition, but again, it seems like the practice in Lithuania, at least not Hasidic Ashkenazim, is to assume that as a basic letter of the law, the halacha is like, the times are measured like the gra. But hopefully that demystified some of the Zmanim, probably more than demystified, it mystified more, but just shows that you see things on the calendar. So usually calendars don't have this many. Yeah.
When we have the times on the calendar, can you do halacha at that time? Or should you? I mean, the men come home from shul and all that, but because of all the minutes and everything, like, are you technically allowed to do halacha then?
You're saying with early Shabbos?
No. When you're finishing Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos. The times that we have on the calendar.
Right. So if you say Baruch HaMadiel.
Right. Yeah. So that's with all these calculations, that's okay to do
malacha. Right, that's okay. Right.
That's
not remaining time, but that's with the 43. Right. That's right. Already is well past the visit.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, it usually works out by the time we get after Maariv, it's already after 50 minutes, so that's kind of works out. But
okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah.